I'm excited to be in your presence today. I'm grateful. I want to, next week we'll go into our series of Advent, but this week we had an open week of preaching, and I was struggling with where I wanted to go. And we've talked on this topic before, but I text the elders and like, hey guys, I'm struggling. I need to hear from you. Like, help me praying through, trying to figure out what I want to preach about. And then as I was at the gym where all of my like great ideas, and I feel like the Lord just kind of speaks to me. And when I'm reading the word, it was just like gratitude. Yeah, we just came off of Thanksgiving, right? Like, so that's low-hanging fruit. Like, way to go, Pastor. Way to be original, right? Like, and I'm like, Lord, really? Like, gratitude? But like, gratitude. So here we are. But in the process, God is awesome and sovereign in how he does things. And so we had our potluck last week. Before I get there, let me say this. I believe that for us to be to walk in gratitude and to be thankful and to walk in that idea, this mentality of thankfulness, and to have Thanksgiving as something, not the holiday, but the state of being, the behavior, and walking in that is God's will. Like, it's God's will. It's not just, hey, be thankful in this season. And I'll get to a passage that actually says this is God's will. And so we often, I can remember when I was younger, I used to struggle, like, what's God's will for my life? What's God's will for my life? And even sometimes now, that question surfaces in my own brain. And I think about this idea of something as simple as being thankful and having gratitude is God's will, which says something about God. And he's not hiding things from us that we may walk in full maturity in our faith and our foundation. And like, he's not making things too difficult for us to be able to push forward and grow. Instead, he's given us things like gratitude that says, you're walking in my will. And so the whole thing weighed heavy on me. And normally it does. I know how I grew up. I know that I grew up without certain things and what I would call basic needs on some occasions. I knew that I grew up with more things sometimes, more than what I needed. And so kind of been in both of those places. And I'm sure as I get older, I'll be in those places. And I'm sure that you can identify with me and say, yeah, like, I've been there too. But when we left when I left out of our potluck on last week, I gathered a bunch of food, and being honest, like, I am very spontaneous, which some of you may know, but I didn't plan on doing anything with the food. It was leftovers. I was like, well, it was a lot of turkey and a lot of ham. I was like, I take it home, man. I got three kids that eat like eight kids, and like, you know, we can figure it out. And as I'm driving home, man, I saw some guys that I know. Who do the panhandling thing, and they live up under the bridge. It probably was totally illegal, and that's fine. But I pulled over. I turned the corner. I pulled over. I hopped the curve in my truck, and I just popped the back lid of my truck, and I had like turkey and ham and bread and drinks, and I said, hey man, I got some food for you, and they ran over. And this is not like, hey, shout out to me. I didn't buy anything. Our church pretty much bought that, and it was our leftovers, to be honest. And it made me think about some other things. But in that moment, those guys dropped everything that they did. And I said, man, take like everything and fix whatever you want. Like, and they were like being all humble and gracious, like, oh, we just need this. I'm like, listen, bro, like, seriously, take all of it. And I literally folded up one of the pans and put it in a bag for them. And I didn't have a ton, but I had plates, I had forks, I had napkins, I had food, I had drinks. And man, you should have saw not just their faces, but their whole person change. And when I do stuff like that, or when the Lord allows me to be in places like that, where like his presence, like practical things in scripture that says, "Lo, like when I was hungry, you fed me." When it's like super simple, it's not anything majestic. Like it's like, hey, pull over, feed that person. And when I did that, like the Lord just began like to work on my own heart. And I saw gratitude. Right? Like I saw gratitude like right there in my face. It wasn't something that I had to work hard to go do. Like it was present. And I saw contentment. Now it may have lasted for a moment for them. And as I was standing out there, like folks were like yelling at me and honking the horn and thumbs up out the window. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Like, but like what I'm experiencing right now, that doesn't even touch it. And so as they're like one of their friends had walked down the road to go do something. And the dude was so excited that he was like yelling. And you know, like we're under 85, right? And cars are flying and that bridge is loud. But he was yelling loud enough to get his buddy to come back so he could eat too. And I was just thinking like, those are our leftovers. We in a good place. But like, even in that for them, that was like their primary. And they were in a good place for that moment. And they were thankful. And the amount of gratitude that was present, it made me tear up. Not that they were thankful for me, man. Like, that's not it. Like, the situation. And it made it even more clear that this is God's will. Yeah, we do things, but that we walk in gratitude. And it just kind of took some things. I was speaking to somebody the other day, and it's like, yeah, like this and that, and these things are wrong, and that's wrong. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. But I'm really working on personally walking in 2018 before New Year's resolutions come, setting my mindset and my behavior to walk in God's will. In this simple thing of being thankful. Y'all, like, and some of you, we've all come from places, like, and I think sometimes we get in places where God allows us to have new things. But man, I came from a place where we, like, and some of you may be able to identify, maybe even now, like, the lights were not on sometimes in my home. And I came from a place sometimes where we were limited in resources to be able to eat certain things. I had grandmothers that would come in and grandparents that came in. Like, it was a lot of factors that played into that. But the reality of it is like, I've been in those places before. But like I said earlier, I've also been in those places where it's like, man, we got plenty. And it's great. And it's nothing wrong, before we get deep into this, there's nothing wrong with being grateful or having Thanksgiving when things are going awesome. Like, all the more abounding in it, yes, we should. But also, like, there's nothing wrong with being grateful and thankful when there's just a little bit and things are not going so awesome, because this too is God's will. So when we think about this, that story was to bring to light like this idea, and we jump into these passages. Therefore, as you have received Christ, also walk in him, rooted and being built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And when you see that, therefore, you always have to kind of go back. And so I want to read Colossians chapter 2, just the first part before we get to those verses. And so Paul writes in verse 1, he says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. And their hearts, face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in whom all are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, excuse me. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, comma, abounding in thanksgiving. Paul begins this with therefore, and he talks about the hidden treasures and the riches in Christ. And so I've said earlier that I believe that walking in this behavior, this attitude, this idea, and practically fleshing out gratitude is God's will. So we have to believe this statement. We have to believe that God's will is right and it's perfect for us all the time. So I believe that God's will is right and it's perfect for us at all time. When we don't believe this statement to be true, it weakens us at the foundation of our faith. In fact, I would say that that is the thing that threatens our faith the most. Unbelief that God is who God says that he is. We just read Psalm 145, verse 17, and 145, but in verse 17, in that passage, it says that the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. My grandmother used to say all the time, baby, the Lord is good, right? Both of my grandmothers, God is good. Like, hey, how's things going? And like, there's a plethora of things happening that are not demonstrating at the moment that the Lord is good. And the response that I would get from my grandmother, or the response that I get with people who are seasoned in the faith, whether it was male or female, was, man, God is good. And oftentimes we've heard that statement, and immediately in our culture today, because we really struggle with faith and we really struggle on some levels of believing that God is good, because oftentimes we associate God's goodness with how we are feeling or how we are doing, or we associate God's goodness with whether or not we are receiving blessings or blessings seem to be going out the back door. And so in that statement, the theological, like, rootedness is that no matter either way, God is still good, because God's works are always right and his love towards us is always kind. And anything that he does is his righteous, all the way thought out will, not something like spontaneously happening, but like it's a deep theological issue to walk in a place of ingratitude, because in a place of ingratitude, we really struggle with whether or not God is as good as he says he is, or if he really is who he say he is. And so when we wrestle back and forth with that, we have to struggle with that. So gratitude also takes humility. The common denominator between the situation was that these guys under the bridge are in a place where, however you look at it, I guarantee you that they are humbled. However you look at it, I guarantee that you are humbled. All it takes for us to be humbled is a loss. In any of our spheres of a participation, if we lose something, that moment that we lose something, following that moment, we might have some depression, but I think for one, like, we get humble. All right, my cousin passed away. I hadn't seen him in a while. We connected a little bit, but I get in his funeral and I'm there and I'm humble. Like, man, life is a vapor. Or you got four tires on your car and you experience something and like, you know, one of them falls off. You do remember that, like, well, you had three, but one fell off and God kept you, right? Like, or you go to the dealership or you go to get your oil changed, like I did this week. And I'm like, man, I think one of my tires needs a plug in it. And all four of my tires had a hole in them. Every tire on my truck had a hole. And one had three holes in it. And the guy said, man, I can't repair that one. So I was like, man, just put some air in it. I'm going to have to get a new one later. So I cruised on down the road. And I just thought, like, how do all four of my tires have a hole in them? I asked those questions later. But God is good in that. Like, God is extremely good in that. So gratitude takes this humility to exercise. And so then when you have humility, like usually pride is the other opposite. And that pride usually fleshes itself out in the form of entitlement, where you believe that you should have certain things just because you are and you're entitled to them. And like, I'm a human. I need that. That's me. And so when that pride always misses gratitude. And when pride misses gratitude, the reason why pride misses gratitude is because self is standing in the way of what the Lord is trying to do. And so pride dismisses gratitude and then it blocks gratitude. Because pride, usually in the form of like entitlement, is saying, it's mine. You should have gave that to me, or it's mine. Like, that shouldn't happen to me. Whereas gratitude says, it demonstrates our humility and our poverty. Because if God were to just close his hand for a moment, we would actually see what is ours. If God were just to, like, just to say no and just, like, no, this is it, I'm closing my hand, we would really, for just a moment, see how needy we really are. Oftentimes, we build ourselves up on the material possessions that we have. And when I say material, I speak about our health. When I say material, I speak about our wealth. When I say material, I think about our belongings and all that we have received over this time while we've been on earth. And for some reason, our mind says, that brings me value. Now, there is this other side that says, well, yeah, in the world and how we function, there is some value to those things. I mean, the wisest man known, Solomon, says this, that money solves all problems. Y'all didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? It's there. But scripture also says that the love of money, the love of it, is the root of all evil. So we got to keep that balance. But Solomon says that in their statement, like it just solves, and like bread is good and wine is these things are good for the heart. And so there's this balance of not finding my identity in these things that I've like built myself up on, which is a weak foundation, because one swipe, one job loss, one sickness it empties that of all of its value. And then what do you have to stand on? And so that place that we go to often where we feel low and we're down, that's actually the place probably where we're the most grateful. That's hard. And sometimes you have to fight really, really, really hard to be there. Like, I know that we've been in that place before. Like, I know we've been in that low place before, but pride dismisses gratitude. Pride blocks gratitude. There's a passage in Peter that says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God because he cares for you. Like, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God because he cares for you. In regard to salvation, like, there is no salvation outside of Jesus, outside of God's love. In regard to life and how we live and how we function, God is in the mix of everything. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God because he cares for you. Let me add something. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God because he cares for you, whether you have it all and it's all going your way, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, because he cares for you whether you don't have it all and it's not going your way. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, whether your health is amazing and it's great and you have no complaints, but then humble yourself under the mighty hand of God when all of your health is in only nothing but his hands. That's where we are. That's why it's so important that we understand our identity in Jesus. So gratitude, as I read this passage, like, therefore you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith just as you were taught. So Paul, when he said therefore, he had listed these things about the riches and the mystery of God, and that the church here would grow, and that they would be like developing and continuing to grow, that they would be unified, and that they would love one another, and that they'd be living testimonies. And so then he says, hey, as you are rooted and built up, like, this is this thing about maturity. But at the end of that, when he put that comma, he said about, like, abounding in thanksgiving. So it's one thing to be thankful. It's another thing to be day by day abounding in thanksgiving. To abound in something means to be over and above. To abound to something is like it's a prominent thing that I possess, or it's a prominent thing that I do. And so to abound means not to just be like, hey, I'm in this place of thankfulness, but to abound means like, hey, I'm great. It's a theological problem, because we say when circumstances change, then God changes. Therefore, my situation has changed. God hasn't changed. Circumstances have never dictated him. And how you feel about what's happening, I'm not going to say it's not important, because your feelings matter. But the reality of it is that in all circumstances, there's still a command for you to be thankful. Gratitude is a byproduct of, listen to this, consistently walking with Jesus, which is a byproduct of just being with him. And when I say being with him, I mean in his word, I mean in his presence and worship, in his community that he's provided, in his local church. It's a byproduct of that. It's a byproduct of memorizing his word. It's a byproduct of praying his word over your life. And when you do this, the only thing that you can say is thank you. I think, like, I'm all about motivation, and I'm all about, like, man, like, you're worthy and you're awesome. Like, I'm all about that. But I think sometimes, like, the enemy plays tricks on us, and we think more of ourselves than we should. I know for a fact that Aaron does. Like, I just think, like, that should have been mine a long time ago. What's taking so long, God? Wait, I was progressing. It looks like I'm backstepping now. Like, what happened? Like, you're supposed to be blessing me. I'm your guy. It's just me. So when we get in those places, like, we start to believe more about ourselves, like, highly than we should. And I'm not saying anything about self-hate. I'm just talking about humility and understanding. When you sit with Jesus, let me bring it to our, like, level. Like, if you sit with somebody famous, like, you might not say it, but you feel different. Somebody who has fame or wealth, or, like, people know them in a certain level. Man, like, if somebody follow you on Instagram that's famous, you feel different. Twitter, you're like, we that's how we are. So, like, when you sit with somebody and you, let's say you knew them, right? Like, for example, I got a handful of buddies that went to the NFL and played in the NFL, and a couple may be still playing now, but they played. And my association with them would like give me like clout a little bit, right? I haven't played at all, but I know him. I went to college with him. I did this with him. Man, I taught him how to play that position, but I didn't go to NFL, but that's still cool because he went. Like, I get some clout for that, right? Nah, brother. Like, you don't get no clout for that, right? Or being associated with people who are famous. I know a lot of folks who millions of people know, like I know them, have sat down and had coffee with them and high-fived them, and we've been in each other's homes and stuff like that, but we feel different. And so just imagine that, right? You can't even actually make it equal to, but if you sit with Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of our faith, who was at the beginning, and we are created in his image, like we are image bearers because he's the visible representation of God. Like, we are created in his image. He let us make man in our image and in our liking. Like, we are created in that. Like, that is, like, that's it. And so spending time with him and being in his presence gives you this different level of gratitude. It changes the situation. It changes whatever you're walking through, because you know this for a fact. He's not changing. He won't waver. His love is consistent. He's never treated you indifferent. He's never walked out on you in your worst moments. He's never shut the door. He's never looked at you and said, I just can't. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, like God is because of what Jesus did on the cross, this should give us a place of gratitude. We are no longer looked at as enemies, but we are looked at as children of God for those who are walking in faith with Jesus. That alone should put a thing in your heart to say, man, I'm just grateful. He says these things, these words, these rooted and built up, like firmly planted, dug down deep, developing structure for upward growth. He's talking about maturity. There's a such thing as a shallow rooted tree and plants, like, but there's also these deep rooted trees and plants, and the shallow rooted trees usually don't live long. And when you go, if you've been involved in tree planting or anything like that, when you go to a nursery or you go to a place to get a tree, they'll usually tell you like, hey, this is a shallow rooted tree. Now they're beautiful. They'll bloom. They'll have amazingness to them, but they'll also say, hey, they don't live that long. And part of the reason why they don't live that long is because their roots haven't been able to, they're not created to go down deep and get the nutrients that they need. So for the follower of Jesus, like you being rooted and you being established, to be established means that there is some structural strength to your faith. It means that every time something blows your way or every time something doesn't go your way, that you are rooted and you are established to be able to endure those seasons. Those seasons will happen. You will not live a life where everything on every day at every second is going to go your way. It's just not going to happen. And so that's why faith and being rooted and being established in Jesus says, that's not happening how I thought. My expectations are a little bit different. And that's okay. There's no sin in that. But here's where it comes, where the rubber meets the road, is when that situation happens, when it doesn't go your way, or when things are just not in a place where you feel like you should be in a place of thanksgiving and gratitude. When that happens and your faith is tested, that's not a problem. Our faith will always be tested. But when you start to believe that God isn't who God says he is, and then you start to talk down on God's righteous plans, and then when you start to believe and go into this state of depression because it didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen, That's when we have a foundational issue. So gratitude is, that didn't happen. God, I believe your plan to be better. Help my heart to get to that place. That's like, that's offense, where I'm like really walking in my faith. I'm on the offensive. And then you're guarded because you know scripture. You know God because of scripture, right? See where I'm going? Like, you're in God's word. You're in his presence. And so you know him. He's not just an acquaintance. He's savior. He's friend. He's Lord. And so there's relationship there. And when that relationship is present, you know God. And so when it doesn't look like what you thought it was, then your vision was wrong, not God's. So then you need to adjust and you need to align. And in the midst of all of that, you need to be grateful. Let me speak on discipleship for just a moment, because I think it means something in the way that we develop people, in the way that we share gospel, in the way that we walk with people life on life, and how we do that. Christian maturity is this thing. Faith, Paul is talking about being established, being rooted, dug down deep, structural. And then he says this. He says, like that you're established in the faith, and mature people make disciples. Like, they get other people when they say, hey, man, look, I follow Jesus. Come follow me like I follow Jesus. I'm not perfect, but, man, I'm following Jesus. So come follow me. And I think that as grown people, growing people, like they make disciples. And I think that it's essential in discipleship to help people practice the will of God. And I think it's essential in discipleship to help people understand what Thanksgiving looks like in your life. So maybe, just maybe, God is giving you this opportunity to walk with people in life. And maybe this is not an opportune time because it just doesn't look that good. Because we you know, just like in our homes, we like to sweep stuff when people are coming over. Like, hey, like, I ain't touched that in years, but I got folks coming over. It's a little dusty. Let me get that off so they'll believe something about me that ain't normally true. But, like, let me just get this off real quick. Well, at least me. So, like, even in our spiritual lives, sometimes we when we want to make disciples and we want to live for Jesus, we have this knee-jerk reaction to, like, I want to tighten up a little bit better, and I want to be a little bit better before I bring somebody else into my mess. And, like, I can understand that to a level. But Jesus said, go make disciples. The disciples were not perfect. And I think sometimes that stuff is that is not all together is a great opportunity to demonstrate different ways that you walk out your faith. I believe that sometimes things are not going our way so that we can be, I mean, it's in scripture, but so we can be witnesses that the Lord is still good and that we can practically walk out Thanksgiving in a life of gratitude. So here is where I'm working. Here is where I'll close this out. I believe that ingratitude is a deep theological problem. At its source, it says that God is not good enough. And what he does is not good enough. It also says that you have forgotten. And you've forgotten all the good that the Lord has done. If you wake up in the morning and your feet touch the ground, and you are in a place of ingratitude, you need to check that before you get out that bed. And I'm guilty of it. Man, I've woke up. I came out of my sleep and slumber. And the first thing on my mind was problems and why am I not and why is this not and why are they? And I haven't even said, God, you know, thank you. And that word thank you is even a place of, like, it. The word thank you demonstrates we don't have anything else to say. The word thank you is a word of poverty because we don't know what else to say. I'll explain that a little bit. So I think that deep down that ingratitude is a theological problem. And at its source, it says that God is not good enough and what he does for us is not good enough. And it also says that for us, that we have forgotten all the good that God has done in our lives. And when we take time to remember for just a moment, I've always said this thought that I believe that our memories and us having the ability to remember is God's grace. Having the ability to remember, even though some memories may be painful, even though some memories may be joyous and bring great pleasure, right? I believe that our memories are God's grace to use to remember what he's done for us. But I believe also that we live in a fallen world, and I believe that our memories get drowned out, in particular, in the good that's happened in our life. So I believe that we should walk in gratitude in words and heart and in action. And here's how we get to this place. Here's what I was talking about earlier. Paul was writing in order to encourage the church, and his solution to refuse or refute false teaching was that the church was to be abounding in thanksgiving, giving gratitude to Jesus. That's the context of that passage. Paul said, hey, you need to be established. You need to be rooted down in the faith like you were. Like, know what we taught you before. And then lastly, this is how important thanksgiving is. This is how important gratitude is. In order to refute false doctrine, Paul said you need to be abounding in thanksgiving. Because when you are abounding in thanksgiving, you remember what you were taught. When you abound in thanksgiving, you remember the graces of God and how he's laid that upon your life. In this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, this is what I mean by gratitude is God's will. And when you walk in a place of thankfulness and thanksgiving and in gratitude, you're walking in God's will. Paul says, rejoice always, God's will. Pray without ceasing, God's will. Give thanks in all circumstances, God's will. Because you know what? For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Rejoice, pray, give thanks in all circumstances. I read this quote in this article, and it says, to give thanks is to admit that we are poor. For in the moment of giving thanks, we acknowledge that we have what we have comes entirely from another, that we are dependent as baby birds squawking tortuously for a giving mother. To give thanks is to relinquish any claim we have on what is given to us, maintaining within us the givenness of the gift. Then the author in this post went on to say, consider it in this sense, the words thank you, this is what I was saying earlier, it comes from this place of poverty. It says the words thank you are anti-words, symbols that deliver the fact that we have nothing to deliver. A response that indicates the impossibility of a response. Considered in another, gratitude is felt poverty. Back to my story about the guys under the bridge. Gratitude is felt poverty. You know why it hit me so hard? Man, I felt that. Here is our leftovers. They treated them like it was a seat at the king's table. Gratitude is felt poverty. Earlier I said, I think we believe more about ourselves than we should. Why? Because we don't walk in gratitude. We don't feel our own poverty sometimes. And I'm not on like beat down self thing. I'm speaking like spiritual realm, Jesus, like sin. I'm speaking God made us righteous and all that he does is righteous. And so in that, like we are made righteous. And if outside of that, we fall back and we literally fall back, and we are in sin. We are in this place of where we are not looked on as righteous. And if you are not looked on as righteous by God, then there's no hope And so we're in this place, and so Aaron, give me practicals. I'll give you practicals. G.K. Chesterton says this: I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. So we have this idea that thankfulness is somehow felt poverty, but then we have this idea that thankfulness is the high, like, wonder, thoughts, and it's high, it's a form. So it's like seemingly like this weak place where God wants us to be humble and understand that everything comes from him, but it's a powerful thing if Paul writes it in a form that it is a thing that you use to refute false doctrine. Practical tips, I'll close it down. First one is just remember. Make a practice of remembering the great things that the Lord has done. Make a practice of remembering things that people have done. Like, keep a tally of the good that's in your life. Write it down. If you can't remember, write it down. If you can't write it down, look, most of us carry smartphones. They have a notes app. Or you can download Evernote and just say, gratitude. And then start with number one. I woke up this morning. I had food in my refrigerator. I slept in a warm house last night. I got a car to drive. Like, let me just tell you, when you start doing that, it's something about it that just changes your framework. Man, I got a phone. I could, like, my phone is a computer, literally. I can do whatever I want right now from this place. Like, it's all, like, just trust me in this. Write it down. We do, like, MyFitnessPal, and we buy Apple Watches to track our steps all day. And at the end of the day, we're like, 1,500 steps. I made it. Post it on Instagram. Slap it up on Twitter. People like it. High five. But then we wake up the next day, and we don't have any gratitude. And you just walk 15,000 steps. You better be excited about something. Your heart worked. Your feet worked. Your arms work. You were able to go buy that $1,500 watch. Okay, it's like $300, but you know what I'm saying. Listen to this: people who kept a journal about the good things that will happen. In this research promoted these stats. 16% felt fewer physical symptoms, just like sick, hurt, pain stuff. 19% spent more time exercising. 10% had less physical pain overall. 8% got more sleep. And then there was a 25% increase in the sleep quality. Just in keeping a track of your good things that are happening in your life that God is doing or other people doing. Another one, give more than you get mentality. This mentality where you, like, give more than you, when you wake up in the morning and you're like, let me just, like, see what all I can get today, it kind of puts you in this place of, like, at the end of the day, I didn't get all that I thought that I was going to get. But when you put yourself in this place of, like, let me give more than I desire to receive, it does something different to your outlook, because you have more satisfaction in your day. It's just different when you give and versus when you're trying to receive. Everybody, I'm assuming, in here likes gifts, so I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is, like, just the mentality. Wake up in the morning and say, man, I'm going to serve more in my home. Wake up with a mentality, man, I'm going to be nicer when I go to coffee shop tomorrow. Like, that's giving. It doesn't cost you anything. Try that. Here's another one. Serve folks who are in poverty. Listen, some of us live in abundance, but our demonstration of gratitude is stuck in poverty. We live in abundance, but how we express that is stuck, like we don't live. Like it, and I'm not saying that we're in poverty. I'm saying, like, it's like, hey, you got a lot in front of you, but you act like you don't have a lot in front of you. Like that, like, not like, oh, I'm poor and I'm needy. Like, no, you do have it, but you act like you don't. Serve people in poverty. Befriend people who have less resources than you. And then lastly, just be obedient. It's God's will to be thankful. Period. Let's pray. God, you're good. And I just want to walk in a place of, this sermon was mostly me. Like, it's mostly how I function and how I don't give you thanks that you deserve. And I don't even know how to say that word, like, deserve. Like, Lord, more than anything, you've been gracious to us. More than anything, you've demonstrated love to us. You've never let us down. God, when people have let us down and when jobs have let us down, you've always been present and there. Help us just to remember you. Help us to be firm in the faith. Help us to walk how you've called us to walk. Lord, man, we're thankful. Help us to have hearts of gratitude that remember your goodness and remember that your plans are way better. Help us to have the gratitude and the fortitude to be able to shift when we need to shift. And when we do get frustrated, because we will, when we don't have gratitude, because we will have those seasons, God, just be gracious to us and help us to get to that place. Help us to grow up in the faith like you want us to grow up. God, destroy entitlement and pride in us. It just runs rampant in my heart sometimes. And Lord, I wish that you would just help me there. Thank you, Jesus.